Hello, this is Jean with the Pantograph dated July 1st, 2025. We will begin today's readings on the front page with the article entitled Pop Bang Boom, Fireworks, More Fun Plan for 4th of July in Central Illinois by Olivia Jacobs. And she lists a lot of events here, so I'm just going to start with the Bloomington Normal area and talk about the different events that she has in her article here, and then do a few more. So we have the Bloomington Normal area. We have Celebrate America concert at 7 p.m. on July 2nd and 3rd in the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at 600 North East Street. Admission is free. The VFW Post 454 Annual Cookout is being held at 5:30 p.m. on July 3rd, 1006 East Lincoln Street in Bloomington. We have hamburgers or brats are $6, hot dogs are $5, all served with beans and chips. At 7 p.m. there's a drawing, The Queen of Hearts, Southern Disturbance Band starts at 7:30 p.m. And we have the Classic Car Cruise Celebration from 1 to 4 p.m. on July 4th at Miller Park at 1020 South Morris Avenue in Bloomington, showcasing over 80 automobiles, including antique and classic cars, race cars, trucks, motorcycles, and more. Live music from Jim and Tommy. The Long Branch again will be on site for food purchases, fireworks at dusk hosted by Bloomington Parks and Recreation, and the Mid-State Cruisers. Admission is free. 4th of July in Miller Park will be held at 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on July 4th at Miller Park at 1020 South Morris Avenue in Bloomington. We'll have paddle boats, splash pad, Miller Park Zoo, concessions, miniature golf, playground, and more. Fireworks at dusk, approximately at 9:15 p.m. Then we have the 7th Annual Red, White, and Blue Classics at 8 a.m. July 4th at the Den at Fox Creek, 3046 Fox Creek Road in Bloomington. Pre-registration is required. Normal Corn Belters versus the Illinois Valley Pistol Shrimp is the next event, being held at July 4th celebration night, 6:30 p.m. on July 4th. The Corn Crib at 1000 West Rab Road and the Town of Normal Fireworks. And then we have a couple of other local areas. We have the East Peoria, and the Peoria area has a Peoria JC's Firecracker 5000 being held at 6:30 a.m. July 4th, starts and finishes on the Riverfront Trail at the Old Hooters Restaurant. They also have the Red, White, and Boom being held at 5 p.m. on July 4th, East Peoria Riverfront Park. Live music, vendors, flyover, the Star-Spangled Banner, and Pledge of Allegiance. Fireworks display at 9:30 p.m. And then there's the Eastport Marina 4th of July at 6 p.m. on July 4th at Eastport Banquet and Meeting Center at 703 Mariners Way, featuring Dexter O'Neill and Funkyard, Barrico's Barbecue Dinner Buffet, and dessert with Cash Bar. The cost is $65 per person. And then I'll just mention Tawanda, our neighbor to the north. We have 57th Annual 4th of July Celebration at 4:30 p.m. on July 3rd. HCE Supper, dancing and live music, concessions and fireworks all day starting at 9:30 a.m. July 4th, on flea market, food concessions, and parade at 10 a.m. And we also have the Duncan Manor 4th of July Tours, noon to 4 p.m. on July 4th at Duncan Manor, 1002 Tawanda Barnes Road. The admission is $10. Next on the front page, we have an article entitled College Grads See Higher Jobless Rate by Christopher Rugeber of the Associated Press. While completing a master's degree in data analysis, Pelwasha Zaid moved from Dallas to a town near Silicon Valley. The location made it easy to visit the campuses of tech stalwarts, including Google, Apple, and NVIDIA. Zaid, 25, completed her studies in December, but so far she hasn't found a job in the industry that surrounds her. "It stings a little bit," she said. "I never imagined it would be this difficult just to get a foot in the door." Young people graduating from college this spring and summer face one of the toughest job markets in more than a decade. The unemployment rate for degree holders ages 22 to 27 reached its highest level in a dozen years, excluding the COVID-19 pandemic. Joblessness among that group is now higher than the overall unemployment rate, and the gap is larger than it has been in more than three decades. The rise in unemployment worried many economists as well as officials at the Federal Reserve because it could be an early sign of trouble for the economy. It suggests businesses are holding off on hiring new workers because of uncertainty stemming from the Trump administration's tariff increases, which could slow growth. Young people are bearing the brunt of a lot of economic uncertainty, said Brad Herbstein, senior economist at labor-focused think tank Upjohn Institute. "The people that you often are most hesitant in hiring when economic conditions are uncertain are entry-level positions. The growth of artificial intelligence may play an additional role by eating away at positions for beginners in white-collar professions such as information technology, finance, and law." Higher unemployment for younger graduates also renewed concerns about the value of a college degree. More workers than ever have a four-year degree, which makes it less of a distinguishing factor in job applications. Morit Tasky, an economist at J.P. Morgan, calculates that 45% of workers have a four-year degree, up from 26% in 1992. While the difficulty of finding work demoralizes young people like Zaid, most economists argue that holding a college degree still offers clear lifetime benefits. Graduates earn higher pay and experience much less unemployment over their lifetimes. The overall U.S. unemployment rate is still low 4.2%, and the government's monthly job reports show the economy is generating modest job gains. However, the additional jobs are concentrated in healthcare, government, and restaurants and hotels. Job gains in professions with more college grads, such as information technology, legal services, and accounting, languished in the past 12 months. The unemployment rate stayed low mostly because layoffs are still relatively rare. The actual hiring rate, new hires as a percentage of all jobs, fell to 2014 levels when the unemployment rate was much higher at 6.2%. Economists call it a no-hire, no-fire economy. For college graduates 22 to 27 years old, the unemployment rate is 5.8% in March, the highest, excluding the pandemic, since 2012, and far above the nationwide rate. Lexi Lindo, 23, saw how reluctant companies were to hire while applying for more than 100 jobs last summer and fall after graduating from Clark Atlanta University with a business degree and a 3.8 GPA. She had several summer internships in fields such as logistics and real estate while getting her degree, but no offer came. "Nobody was taking interviews or responding back to any applications that I filled out," Lindo, who is from Auburn, Georgia, said. She returned to Clark for a master's program in supply chain studies and has an internship this summer at a Fortune 500 company in Austin, Texas. She's hopeful it will lead to a job next year. Artificial intelligence could be a culprit, particularly in IT. Matthew Martin, senior U.S. economist at Oxford Economics, calculated that employment for college graduates 28 and above in computer science and mathematical applications increased a slight 0.8% since 2022. For those ages 22 to 27, it fell 8%. Company announcements further fueled concerns. Toby Lutke, CEO of online commerce software company Shopify, said in an April memo that before requesting new hires, teams must demonstrate why they cannot get what they want done using AI. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy recently said AI likely would reduce the company's corporate workforce over the next few years. Zaid worries that AI is hurting her chances. She remembers seeing big billboard ads for AI at the San Francisco airport that ask, "Why hire a human when you can use AI?" Still, many economists argue that blaming AI is premature. Most companies are in the early stages of adopting the technology. Professional networking platform LinkedIn categorized occupations based on their exposure to AI and did not see big hiring differences between professions where AI was more prevalent and where it wasn't, said Corey Katenga, the firm's head of economics for the Americas. "We don't see any broad-based evidence that AI is having a disproportionate impact in the labor market, or even a disproportionate impact on young workers versus older workers," he said. He added that the Federal Reserve interest rate hikes also slowed the hiring in tech. The next article is around the state. Southern Illinois, hidden gem travel spot. State looks to boost tourism in the region, by Sonia Dymova and Maggie Daugherty of the Mid-Ill Illinois News Bureau. Standing on the edge of a 300-foot limestone bluff in Southern Illinois' Shawnee National Forest, Michaela Sweeney could thank the perfect word she typed into ChatGPT for bringing her to the unexpected spot. "I literally look up lush, magical fairy tale areas," she recalled, looking over the edge of the forest's Inspiration Point Trail. A 30-year-old social worker from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Sweeney was looking for a destination to recover from burnout. The AI app recommended two destinations, North Carolina or Southern Illinois. "The first recommendation didn't surprise her," Sweeney said, "that many people in Kentucky go to the Great Smoky Mountains when they want to get away. But she had never heard anyone talk about the Shawnee National Forest in Southern Illinois before. So this almost feels like a hidden gem," Sweeney said. "If someone was going to the Smoky Mountains all the time and they were tired of it, I would say try mixing it up." The forest stretches across the eastern and western parts of southern Illinois from Inspiration Point Trail overlooking the Mississippi River Valley here in the west to the popular Garden of the Gods Wilderness area in Herod to the east. Sweeney is among a growing number of visitors discovering southern Illinois as a travel destination amid a recent effort to entice more people to visit the summer season. Carol Hoffman, executive director of the Southernmost Illinois Tourism Bureau, said the primary draw to Southern Illinois are the outdoor recreation activities in Shawnee National Forest, including hiking, cycling, rock climbing, and zip lining, as well as another Illinois surprise linked to the unusual terrain, vineyards, and 5 wine trails. The Bureau has appealed to riders of the Chicago Transit Authority with a recent signage campaign that invited potential travelers to go where the bus won't take you and to come see our skyscrapers. In addition to plastering photos of lush greenery and rocky bluffs across Chicago's buses and train stops, the Bureau has paid to have promotional mailers, exhibits, shows, and content creator posts that promote tourism to Illinois' southern region. Southern tourism bureaus have been tapping into a trend of high visitor spending in Illinois in recent years, exceeding pre-pandemic numbers for the first time in 2023, according to most recent available data from a 2024 report prepared for the Illinois Office of Tourism. more than $80 billion in economic impact. In 2023, tourists spent over $47 billion across Illinois, creating nearly 450,000 new jobs and generating over $6.5 billion in state and local taxes, according to the 2024 Tourism Office report. The report estimated that tourism in that year generated over $80 billion in total economic impact for the state. Travel tourism influencer Jessica Bain, 35, has worked on tourism promotion with the Southernmost Illinois Tourism Bureau and Jackson County's Southern Illinois Tourism Bureau for more than 2 years. Bain, a Carterville nurse practitioner raised in Southern Illinois, said she regularly receives messages from viewers online who are surprised by the content she shared, telling her, "I had no idea that Southern Illinois looked like that." Hoffman's group aims to connect with people within an easy day's drive, typically those within a 3 to 6 hour driving distance from the forest, such as those living in central and southern Illinois and in the St. Louis metro area. The advertising campaign is just one in a series of projects seeking to boost tourism in the area in recent years. The industry has seen a more than twofold increase in funding since 2023, with the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, or DCEO, giving out over $9 million in grants to boost tourism in the southern part of the state. That money was distributed to cities and tourism bureaus across the southern half of the state for the last fiscal year, from Alton and Mattoon down to Metropolis, the officially designated home of Superman, where fans can take photos with a 15-foot statue of the comic book hero. Past Illinois tourism campaigns have paid major returns. In the 2023 fiscal year, every dollar invested in promoting tourism generated $75 in direct visitor spending, according to the 2023-2024 Economic Impact of Tourism Report by the DCEO Office of Tourism. Grant funds are matched by local hotels and motels, hoping to bring travelers in, according to Hoffman. In some cases, lodging is the attraction itself, according to Lyle and Tammy Woodrum, the married innkeepers of the Davy School Inn in Anna, Illinois. A fifth of their guests come just for the experience of staying in a former schoolhouse. Originally built in 1853 as a school, the Davy School Inn was repurposed as a bed and breakfast, but still looks in many ways like a school, with various rooms featuring desks, globes, and chalkboards covered with messages from past guests. Susan Hill traveled from her home in Memphis to stay at the Davy School Inn last month. She said she's done it a handful of times since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, when she was looking for somewhere to stay where she could just sit outside. According to Hill, the novelty of staying in an old school was a draw. "It's like, heck yeah, come on," she said. "It's just really quaint. I feel safe there." The Woodrums said most of their guests have come for the area's local attractions, primarily the Shawnee Hills Wine Trail and outdoor activities in the Shawnee National Forest, but also for family and college reunions. Wine just like us. Shawnee Hills Wine Trail is the largest of the state's five trails, comprising 12 wineries and 13 locations. It originated in the summer of 1995 when owners of the first three wineries in southern Illinois, Alto Vineyards, Pomona Winery, and Owl Creek Vineyard, worked with Southernmost Illinois Tourism Bureau and the Carbondale Convention and Tourism Bureau to start the first wine trail in Illinois. Maggie Pugh, assistant manager at Feather Hills Vineyards on Highway 51, said the campaign to attract tourists to the region has had a real effect on the winery. Recently, the company ran out of three of its best-selling and most bottled wines, which to her is an indication of increased visitor flow. I think we are getting busier. I think the advertisement has worked, she said. I also know that the wine trail is doing quite a lot to try and bring more people down, because part of the problem is this area isn't taken seriously for wine, although it should be. Illinois is the second flat test state on the nation's mainland, seemingly perfect only for corn. But Pew described the Shawnee Hills region, home to many of Illinois' highest elevations, as a little golden nugget in which wine is just like us. Grapes enjoy our soil. Since 2015, wineries on the trail have won over 30 medals in national and international wine competitions. Although the vineyards are geographically close together, scattered across an area of 40 miles, the trail boasts a wide range of wines, Pew said. The coolest part about southern Illinois is that even a winery that's only 20 minutes away from this location right here, our wine is going to taste vastly different, even if we made it exactly the same way, she said. Our grapes don't taste the same because of the elevation, and you get those slight hints that might make or break a wine for you. Illinois' most hippie town. Award-winning wines and breathtaking vistas aren't the only unexpected finds in southern Illinois. Maconda, a short drive from the Southern Illinois University campus in Carbondale, features a boardwalk of shops by local artists. Artists sell jewelry, gemstones, sage for burning, paintings, intricate metalwork, and more. The tiny village of fewer than 550 people, a short drive from SIU, proudly calls itself Illinois' most hippie town. Nina Kovar is one of those artists. In her Vision of Arts gallery, dream catchers are hung along the front of the windows, inviting shoppers to come and browse clothing, jewelry, and handmade ceramics. Kovar said she sees graduates coming back for homecoming again and again, as well as others who are discovering the town for the first time. After hearing about its hippie reputation, there's a certain timeless element to it, Kovar said in Maconda. The creativity that we have, that a lot of us are artists and artisans and crafters, that it's kind of nestled in nature, it's beautiful. Kovar said she has seen a significant increase in tourism to Maconda since the COVID-19 pandemic, with people not flying as much but also wanting to get out of the house and into the outdoors. Maconda also made it onto the map, Kovar said, because of the total solar eclipse that took place on April 8, 2024. A few shops down from Kovar, artist Dave Dardis painted a line through his shop to represent the path of the totality at the time. Dardis is better known as the Rainmaker, a name he shares with his bronze art studio. A back door in Dardis's shop opens out to his secret garden, a poorly kept secret in Maconda. The garden features lush greenery and natural elements interwoven with bronze sculptures. Sweeney, a self-described whimsical person, said her visit to Dardis's not-so-secret garden was the best part of her southern Illinois experience. That's like walking into a literal fairy tale, Sweeney said. He's like a hermit slash hippie slash I don't know man with wisdom. Sweeney added of Dardis, he almost reminds me of a sage, like, you know, those giant trees that talk. Having grown up in the area, tourism influencer Bain is well aware of the traditional engines for local economies, whether that's coal mining or agriculture, but she sees a path for tourism to begin an even bigger factor in the time. There's coal mines and there's all these very blue-collar jobs, but tourism brings even more money to our region. Tourists are spending the money at restaurants, at the wineries, and they can reinvest in our communities. When you live and breathe southern Illinois and your kids go to school here, she said, you want these businesses to thrive. We have one obituary today, Jack Fike. Jack Fike, 85 years old of Normal, passed away at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 28, 2025, at OSF Medical Center in Bloomington. There will be a visitation from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 5th, 2025 at Calvary United Methodist Church in Normal. Immediately following, there will be a funeral service with the Reverend Vince Roan officiating. Entombment will be at Park Hill Cemetery, Bloomington. Also, a few funerals today. Solomon David Solly Hostetler, 90, formerly of Sarasota, Florida, at Living Faith Church in Eureka. June Lubkeman, 90, in Bloomington, 11:30 a.m. at Christ Lutheran Church in Normal. And Robert Jean Smith, 66, of Bloomington, 11 a.m. at Calvert Metzler Memorial Home in Bloomington. Okay, and today's flick fact, our today's question is, although little known, that Fresh Time Grocery Store in East Bloomington is part of a 70-store chain across 10 Midwestern states and owned by an even bigger chain. Do you know who owns Fresh Time? Is it 1. Meijer, 2. Kroger, 3. Aldi, or 4. Trader Joe? Today's answer is it is 1. Meijer. Okay, and how time flies. 100 years ago today, on July 1st, 1925, steel is now being set for the fourth floor of the Eisenberger Building, and the structure is now assuming lofty proportions. The steel has been coming on time, and there has been no delay in shipments. Owing to the great weight of some of the sections, it has been necessary to switch flat cars carrying the sections to the Walsh Stoneyard, where a heavy derrick was available for the unloading purposes. And 75 years ago today, on July 1st, 1950, members of the Wapella Unit School Board and Waynesville School Board have decided the first step to be taken in the possible merging of their school systems will be a survey to consider the educational opportunities that could be affected by the merger. The survey will be taken next fall, pending approval of the Waynesville Board's board member C.W. Sampson of Waynesville said. And 50 years ago today, July 1st, 1975, a new era of cooperation between Bloomington and Normal was inaugurated on Monday night, June 30th, in a surprise move by the councils of both cities to begin a 90-day experiment in metro management of the Twin Cities. Bloomington Normal Council members unanimously approved a proposal that Normal City Manager David Anderson begin working half-time as Bloomington City Manager for no longer than 90 days. Outgoing Bloomington City Manager Richard Blodgett worked his last day on Monday. And completing our Time Flies segment, 25 years ago, on July 1st, 2000, the Illinois Shakespeare Festival attendees were very impressed with what they saw at Ewing Manor's new theater, where The Taming of the Shrew opened the festival Friday night on June 30th. The new venue replaces a temporary theater used for more than 20 seasons. And some history. On July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was approved by the Second Continental Congress, leading 13 colonies to gain independence. Philadelphians marked the first anniversary of American independence with a spontaneous celebration. However, observing Independence Day became commonplace only after the War of 1812, and we were a growing nation. The number of people living in the new free nation in July of 1776 was 2.5 million. The nation's population on June 26, 2025 is 342 million. The number of signers of the Declaration of Independence was 56, and here's some facts about the signers. John Hancock, a merchant, was the first signer. Ben Franklin was the oldest, and Edward Rutledge was the youngest at age 26. We will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for July 1st, 2025. Please stay tuned.